The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More. And I am Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner, and I am here with Alexandra Perignon, who is a family and psychiatric nurse practitioner. She's been with us for the last two episodes and joins us again today to talk about postpartum depression. And we're so glad to have her here. Leanne is still on the road, and I think she's coming back to Knoxville. I'm hoping she's coming back to Knoxville. But anyway, she has a lot of work, and that's fantastic for her. So welcome back, Alexandra. It's great to have you here. And I'm looking forward to talking about postpartum depression. I think our listeners will enjoy hearing what you have to say about your experience in that area. This is something you really was a focus of your practice at one point, correct?
It absolutely has been. I've taken care of a lot of postpartum women. And postpartum depression and anxiety is much more prevalent than people realize. I think it's kept hidden a lot of times mm-hmm. by the woman herself. Families can observe it. I think that it's an area of medicine that is changing rapidly because providers are realizing that women need to be checked out much more quickly and much more routinely than mm-hmm. they have been before. It's been pretty routine that women are asked to come back 6 weeks postpartum.
Yeah.
Unless they've had a section and they're coming back earlier than that. But even if they do have a section and they're going back, typically their mental health has been very overlooked.
Yeah.
Now, typically they do get to fill out postpartum depression screening tools, mm-hmm. but people don't always tell the truth on them either. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to observe and speak and find out what's going on, because sometimes there is a lot of shame attached to it, and women don't want to admit that they're not feeling themselves and they're just not feeling up to the task of parenting a newborn. And right. It can be daunting.
Right. And I think it's expected that as a new mother, it's the happiest time of your life. You know, you have this beautiful new baby, and it is tremendous, and it is a magical time for sure, but it's not always
a
feel good
ride.
Happy time for people no. right after. And but I think that's the expectation. So I think you're right. People yeah. might not speak up because they think I should yeah. be happy. I have this beautiful, healthy baby.
Yeah. Why do I feel like this?
Why am I miserable?
Yeah. And I think with fairly, in the last, 10 years or so, celebrities coming out and talking about it puts more of a focus on it for people.
Right.
It makes them understand that they should be heard. And the Obstetric Society is now saying that they actually want women to come back in sooner and be screened yeah. more effectively for postpartum depression and anxiety.
Right.
And be more focused on what's going on. And this is an area where I know before we've talked about alternative regimes and things we can do that can take away anxiety and depression, and perhaps you don't need meds. This is an area where providers need to move fast, swiftly, and work with not only the mum, but hopefully her partner mm-hmm. and other family members too, so that everyone can understand that this is an area that needs to be very quickly assessed mm-hmm. and there are medications that can really help, and it's not forever. It's just possibly for this postpartum period, which right. is a time where mental health can be very vulnerable.
Right, right. And what signs and symptoms should people be looking out for? Say the partner be looking out for, or the woman herself. What we say postpartum depression, so we think, oh, we're depressed, but I think that can manifest in a lot of different ways. So are there symptoms that you can list to help?
You know, one of the hardest things, and you would know this, is like not sleeping. Mm-hmm. So you want to, if you're breastfeeding, mm-hmm. that's a huge task. It's a wonderful thing to do. Mm-hmm. I often will say to women who are at risk for postpartum depression or at risk for postpartum psychosis, and I know this because I've had it before, I will often prepare them for the fact that there is a possibility that they may not be able to breastfeed. Not just because of the medications that may be used,
right.
but also because of the fact that they need to sleep. Mm-hmm. And if you're breastfeeding on demand, which is, the way to be doing it, then
every
you've got to be
hours.
Up. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be there for that mm-hmm. little baby that needs you and wants you. And mm-hmm. it may not be possible. I mm-hmm. think the ultimate goal is to feed the baby. And in the end, it doesn't matter how you feed the baby, just feed the baby. And if breastfeeding was your goal, that's wonderful. It doesn't always work out. It can, and mostly it does, but if it can't, then so be it. Mm-hmm. There are many people in this world who've perhaps been adopted and have never been breastfed who do wonderfully, mm-hmm. who just have thrived.
Yes.
So yes, breast milk is best, but if not, there's alternatives, yeah. and we're lucky that we have them and they work and right. they're fine. So if you have to bottle feed, so be it. But I do think that as far as observing what's going on, the first 2 weeks after the baby is the time when you're going to see mental illness manifest itself. Mm-hmm. And can be very swift in the 2 weeks postpartum. Mm-hmm. And signs and symptoms are not sleeping, not eating well, very depressed, very anxious, crying a lot, mm-hmm. just not coping.
Yeah.
And that's where they need help
yeah.
to be guided back to the provider and be supported.
Right. And part of that, oftentimes do you see that they're just having difficulty even caring for the baby?
That can ultimately be what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. If the depression is sustained
yeah,
and untreated. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So not that partners need to be paranoid, but you need to be observant, on the lookout for, because you know your partner, you know what their normal behavior is. And so if you're seeing any of those signs and it's, and you're concerned, the partner also needs to speak up.
Absolutely, too. Because it's a time when mental illness can become quite severe, mm-hmm. not for necessarily a very long time, but it can be severe enough to warrant definite medications that can change the trajectory of it, mm-hmm. and they can feel better, cope better, and say, oh my goodness, I feel like I wanted to feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you want to snow people
yeah.
or make them zombies. That's not the case. You just simply want to make their brains function better
mm-hmm.
with the help of medications and supplements that may get them to that place as fast as possible, because right. they need to be there
yeah.
and healthy.
You know, as a primary care nurse practitioner, I know that women who are postpartum are seeing their OB. But if they've been on psych meds and we've had to taper them off during pregnancy, because usually I'm, strangely enough, the one doing that. So I know they've been off their medication, especially in the last trimester. I'll have them back shortly after they've delivered and get
to
them
check in.
I'll just get them restarted on meds.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of meds can be taken very safely with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. It can be fine to be taking many of them with breastfeeding. So
yes,
it's not absolutely. That you can't. Certain ones you certainly cannot.
Yeah.
But definitely it's worth discussing, and it's yeah. just a time when they've got to be yeah. vigilantly taken care of.
Are there certain medications you typically use in that situation? I mean, say somebody's come in and they're already, and then it's not the situation I just mentioned where I'm bringing people back and getting them restarted on their meds, but they're coming in and they have postpartum depression or even postpartum psychosis. So,
postpartum psychosis is another area of medication, but for straight what is considered to be postpartum depression, one of the most researched ones is Zoloft, mm-hmm. and that's the best research one for breastfeeding.
Yes.
So that will be your go-to first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And just because people may say it's never worked for me, it may work this time because things change after pregnancy,
that's right.
and it may be worth trying it again at appropriate doses. So that would be my go-to. And then if not, there's certainly you could be trying Prozac, mm-hmm. and you could also be doing Lexapro.
Yeah.
And they have Zoloft first, but the other meds can certainly safely be used with breastfeeding as
right.
well. Psychosis is a different matter and can require different medications, which may or may not be suitable for breastfeeding. But the best thing to do about that is to be in touch mm-hmm. with your psychiatric provider
mm-hmm.
to get the optimal medications for you.
Yes, because that involves very close follow-up.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And at that point, if someone is at that point, they really know they need the help. They've
mm-hmm.
got this little dependent infant and or other children.
Right.
And they want to function.
Right. Yeah, so those meds that you listed for postpartum depression, not the psychosis, but the depression, those are all in a category, just for our listeners, called SSRIs, and we've talked about them on previous shows, but and are very well tolerated, very low side effect profiles, and can be discontinued later if indicated without too much difficulty, which is nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and there's also resources for women. There's Postpartum International Society, which is a great resource where they can call and get advice on the phone. There's all these areas now where Massachusetts General Health has helplines available. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's really important that they're given this information when they're pregnant, so right. they know that they're not alone.
Right. And I think, we're all different in terms of our ability to ask for help and support, but, let people support you after you've delivered a baby. Let people do for you. Let people cook a meal for you.
Yeah.
Let people come and clean your house. I mean,
how wonderful would that be? I'm looking, thinking back to the mess of my house when I had my kids.
I know.
Having someone just breathe through and do your laundry and sweep your floor just makes you
something
feel better.
Little. Just let people do for you.
It's the time.
Because, most people will have family or friends who may not know how to help, but if you say, hey, can you come and clean up my kitchen for me?
People love to help.
People want to help.
They want to. They love to give presents to babies. Yeah. They love to snuggle babies, but they also love to help you. It's a time when people just want to step up.
Yeah, so maybe all of you out there, think of this when you're going to baby showers. Maybe give a gift certificate for a coupon book of things that you can do for them. I'll come and do your laundry. I'll come and vacuum your floors and
wash and dry your hair. Hairstylist can
exactly
do something.
Paint your nails. I mean, just
beautiful.
Give a coupon book of things that you'll come over and do for them, and they can tear one out and give you a call and have you do it.
Yeah, because sometimes food is too much. Sometimes you just get too much food in your fridge, and people have complained that it's too much. But you're right. Yeah. There's so many other things you can do.
Yeah. I mean, baby needs clothes, baby needs diapers, and that's all good. But boy, just some support right out in those few weeks after is.
Yeah, because you're very much shut in at home.
Mm-hmm.
You're often very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time for people to drop in and just see how your friends are going.
Yeah.
Just check in
just
on them.
Just say, you don't have to entertain me. I'll just come over and get her done. So anyway, that's my little tip.
It's a great tip. Keep an eye on your friends. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, it can be a tough time. Wonderful to have a baby, but it can be a tough time. So, any other ideas or thoughts that you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
It's probably not the best time to be taking any kind of sleeping pills because you've got to be there for that baby.
Yeah.
So, again, having someone, even if you express breast milk and get your husband or your boyfriend, significant other, to feed the baby for you while you sleep can just turn things around. If you could just sleep.
That's
what you need the most of at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of sleep causes too many problems.
Yes, that's true. Sleep deprivation is a scary, scary thing sometimes. So that's a great great idea. And again, it involves asking people to help you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think a lot of women have difficulty doing at times.
But we shouldn't.
I know. Why do we?
We shouldn't. In life, I think as you get older, you realize that there's just times when you just need to. And also talking to people helps. It's like if you ever felt really horrible about something and you don't tell anyone, and then all of a sudden your best friend comes over and you tell them, and I don't know how she feels, but instantly you start to feel better because you've just got this, whatever it is, off your chest, whatever's getting to you. And it's really helpful to talk.
Yes.
It's really important to tell people how you're feeling. Because they can give you a different perspective, and different perspectives can change reality, and that's what therapy is about too.
That's fantastic. Well, I want to tell you how I feel about your being here. I'm so glad that you've been here for these episodes, and we'll have you back when Leanne's here, so
can
chat about all this stuff.
Fabulous.
She would enjoy you, and I know you will enjoy her.
Absolutely.
So Leanne, safe travels. And thank you again so much, Alexandra. Really, really appreciate it. Alexandra Perignon. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me. Bye.